This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A few days ago, Daniel Day-Lewis came to our New York bureau and talked about acting. About his method of preparation, he's famous for immersing himself in a role for the part of Christy Brown in My Left Foot. He went daily to a Dublin school for disabled children. About his last stage performance 20 years ago in Hamlet, when he walked off the stage exhausted and hasn't acted in the theater since. But mostly he talked about his latest role as Italian filmmaker Guido Contini in Nine. Nine is based on Federico Fellini's Eight and a Half. It's about the filmmaker's inability to make his ninth movie. He's mired in memories of women and in his complex relations with his wife, his mistress, and his mother. Nine is directed by Rob Marshall, who made the film Chicago. Yes, one can honestly say, like some movie trailer, that in Nine you'll see and hear Daniel Day-Lewis as you have never seen or heard him before.
I can't get to sleep, and I don't want to wake tomorrow morning at the bottom of some heap. But why take it so seriously? After all, there's nothing at stake here, only me. I want to be young, and I want to be old. I would like to...
First of all, very nice to talk with you once again. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And so let's begin with the most remarkable thing about your role in Nine, which is it's a musical. It's a musical, and you sing for it. I want you to tell me about your life as a song and dance man.
Well, it was brief, but highly enjoyable time spent for the first 8 weeks. And in fact, before we even started to rehearse, I had a good bit of time to work with our musical director, Paul Bourgeoff, luckily, who tried to help me find a voice that I could use. And I had the great pleasure of working myself and also watching day by day the rehearsals wherever possible of the girls and watch them develop their wonderful numbers. It was a great pleasure to spend that time in that way, going back to school, really.
Now, in addition to singing, you also, I think dancing is a little bit too strong,
yes,
but you do
yes,
like
yes,
climbing.
Don't go
climbing and moving a lot around the set.
Yes, I climb in time to the music, yes. That luckily was something that Rob didn't try and convince either himself or me of, that he'd found a dancer. So he worked around that in my case.
Ah, you say his hopes for you as a singer were not equaled in his expectations.
Well, I dare say not. I mean, otherwise I'd have been trying to do it. But I was quite relieved that I could concentrate on the music, and particularly relieved when I began to watch one after another, Fergie, Kate Hudson, Marion Cotillard. I realized that, and Penelope.
Penelope
of course.
Cruz.
That's not
does quite a piece of dancing in this movie.
Penelope, yes. Thanks be to God that I didn't have to attempt to do any hoofing in that company.
Yeah, the cast members you refer to as the girls. This is quite a cast you're in there with. You mentioned Kate Hudson, Fergie, Penelope Cruz, Sophia Loren, Nicole Kidman.
Yes, what an amazing group of girls. I have to say my mum was so particularly delighted when I told her that Sophia Loren was playing my mother in this film. And sadly, she passed away a few months ago and never had the chance to meet her. I would so love to have introduced her to Sophia. I think they'd have got along well. And of course, Judy.
Judy Dench.
Yes, who I'd had the great pleasure of working with probably a good 25 years ago in a production of Hamlet. And one of the happiest memories of that working experience was having the chance to work with Judy, who played Gertrude in that production.
You just mentioned the production of Hamlet, which is not remembered for any happy moments of yours. It's remembered for the...
Well, I had a lot of happy moments, but I suppose people that have spoken on my behalf about that experience, as many people have done, tend to have dwelt upon other aspects of it.
The one major unhappy moment when you left stage.
Yes, I made an unscheduled departure from the National Theatre, and I did send Judy a note when we started working on Nine, saying, "I promise not to run out on you this time."
Yeah, it was also an unscheduled departure from stage acting. That's it. I mean, you haven't done that since.
I didn't see it as such, and in a strange way, I still don't. I feel rather that for whatever reason, the work that's most appealed to me over the years since then has been in film.
Now, I want people to hear a bit of you speaking as the character Guido Contini in Nine.
A film is a dream. You kill it writing it down. You kill it with a camera. The film might come to life for a moment or two and your actors breathe life back into it, but then it dies again, buried in film cans. Mysteriously, sometimes, in the editing room, a miracle happens when you place one image next to another, so that when finally an audience sits in the dark, if you're lucky, very lucky, and sometimes I've been lucky, the dream flickers back to life again. That's why I'm secretive.
That's you, Daniel Day-Lewis, as Guido Contini in Nine. And first, I just want to ask you about the way you speak in this part. I've read that you studied Italian to become Guido Contini.
Yes, I read that somewhere too, and I've been so...
Was it perhaps true?
The most extravagant rumors seem to develop out of almost every piece of work that I ever take on, and although some of them might have some basis in truth, they're very often unrecognizable to me, and I wish I could claim I'm so tempted to lie about it. I do speak a little Italian. I understand a fair bit of Italian, but I'm not a fluent Italian speaker, no.
You didn't feel it necessary to become a scholar of Dante in order to take the part.
I would have loved nothing more if I'd had 5 years to prepare for the film.
People write that you have lent credence to the idea that, if you're going to play a man with a hat, you go become a milliner for five years, and you study hats, and you do immerse yourself very deeply in a character. Or is that half reality, half myth?
It's my reality, and I tried to avoid talking about it, rather in the way that Guido attempts to avoid talking about films at the press conference. And largely, I think I avoid talking about it because I never yet found a way of describing that strange process that made any sense to me. So I couldn't expect it to make sense to anybody else. I suppose the thing I would tend to say about it more than anything else is I work that way because that's my pleasure. It's not because it's not a science, obviously. And principally, whatever work you do, and I think all my colleagues would say the same thing, no matter what way we approach the work, it's ostensibly just in the hope of freeing our imaginations. And so I absolutely don't expect anyone else to... to do it.
But the one of the more believable accounts of your methods was I read the headmaster of the school where you had studied the ways of disabled children for playing Christy Brown said he passed you several months later. You were in a park in Ireland, but you were running through screaming as if you were chasing wild animals. You were preparing for Hawkeye in Last of the Mohicans. So you wildly running through a park in Ireland, chasing the British, I guess.
Well, what can I say?
You do this. I mean, it's an independent sighting.
I mean, doesn't it sound appealing when you describe it that way? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? And I think also, I mean, if I can just go back to your previous question. Mm-hmm. Is there any preparation, no matter what you do, to engage in this work that we do as performers, is there any preparation that's stranger than the thing itself, than the actual work? Of course, if you step aside of it and cast a cold eye on that work, it seems utterly absurd that we should spend our lifetimes imagining ourselves into the lives of others and into worlds that aren't ours. So, you know, a good healthy dose of denial, I think, helps. And therefore, I don't really think that any form of preparation is bizarre, that being the case.
It covers a lot of ground.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, I take your point. Well, Daniel Day-Lewis, thank you very much for talking with us about Nine and about so much else.
Thank you so much for inviting me.